numbers. Numbers 13. Say the book of Numbers 13. Number 13 is not my number and I don't play it. The book of Numbers, Numbers 13. We're going to read the first 16 verses this morning. This is what the Lord says. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shemua, the son of Zakur; of the tribe of Simeon, Saphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Peltai, the son of Rephu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Zodai; of the tribe of Joseph, namely the tribe of Manasseh, Gadai, the son of Susai; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gimeali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabai, the son of Vosai; of the tribe of Gad, Geduel, the son of Makai. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshai, the son of Nun, Jehoshai. Let's bow our heads. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word, the good old King James Bible. We thank you for preserving your word without one single error, Father. We just pray now that you remove me out of the way. Just fill me with thy Holy Spirit to teach and preach your word and your word alone. We pray for hearts to be open, for ears to be attentive this morning. We pray for your word to go forth, and we know that it will not return void, Father. We just pray that if there be a lost soul here this morning watching, we just pray that this would be the morning, day that they'd come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and we'll remember to give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Kindly be seated. I know when I was putting this message together, I looked at numbers and I saw all these names, and I said, Lord, you know how terrible I am at these Bible names. But he said, well, I want you to go ahead and preach this anyways this morning. And I apologize for stumbling across some of those names, but these names are very important. These names are very important to God. So we remember when we get to when we get to either genealogies or reading names, we should read each and every one and try to pronounce them the best as you can. The title of this morning's message, kind of an odd one, 2 out of 12. 2 out of 12. That's an odd name for a message. Well, we're always hearing about testimonies about, you know, 10 out of 12 doctors recommend using such and such, whatever kind of aspirin it may be, a product or whatever, or 10 out of 12 housewives use such and such wax for waxing their floors, or 10 out of 12 painters use such and such a paint for painting houses. You name it, and there's always a testimony out there to back it up. You will notice in these testimonies, it is always stressed what the majority use or recommend. We're never told what the minority do. The other 2 out of the 12, you know, it's always what the majority use. This morning in my message, 2 out of 12, the Bible gives us a different kind of testimony that can go either way. We will see how the minority of Christians are succeeding in their Christian walk. 2 out of 12. 2 out of 12, the minority. Or how the majority of Christians are not succeeding in their Christian walk. The 10 out of 12. We're going to look at that. The main cause that the Christian is not succeeding in his Christian walk is because of failure. Failure to claim the promises of God. And the main reason Christians fail to claim the promises of God is primarily for two reasons: unbelief and the fear of man. I believe the account of the 12 spies sent out to spy the promised land will bear this out this morning. There's a little bit of an introduction. Moses, at the command of the Lord, sent one man from each tribe of Israel to spy out the land of Canaan, which the Lord had promised to the children of Israel. In verses 18 to 20, we see this morning, Moses tells the 12 men what he wants them to do. What he wants them to do. He says, "And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes." Basically, what Moses tells them is to, one, report the conditions of the land and the conditions of the people that inhabit the land. And Moses also tells them to bring back a sample of the fruit of the land. We know back in Exodus 3, where the angel of the Lord appears into Moses. Remember the story of, it's not a story, but it's in the Bible, of the burning bush. He receives his commission to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. The Lord promised that in Exodus 3:8, listen what the Lord promised. He said he would deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land and unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. This is the same land God promised to Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, and to their seed. So Moses already knows ahead of time what the spies are going to find. He knows they're going to find a good land, a large land, the choicest piece of real estate on the face of the earth, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that will be easy to work. It will take no effort to get the provisions that they need out of it. This pictures the future kingdom of the heaven on earth, the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. Also, Moses knows who his enemies are, the Canaanites and all the Ites, I'll call them, the Canaanites and all the Hittites and so forth, the Ites. He knows who the enemies are. So there's no real surprise. There shouldn't be any surprise what they're going to find in the land, the people, and what the land's going to be like, because they have God's word on it. All the children of Israel had to do was go, following the leading of the Lord. God even made it easier for them. You know, sometimes we have a hard time finding the will of the Lord in our lives. He made it easy for the children of Israel. Remember, he gave them a cloud to follow during the day and the appearance of fire by night. We find that in Numbers 9, chapter 9, verses 14 to 17, if you'd like to read about it. But he gave them something actually to see. They couldn't miss where they should go. Now, the children of Israel are preparing to go unto the promised land. God has promised both his provisions and protection. All they had to do was go and claim the promise. Notice God told Moses in Exodus 3:8 that he would bring the children of Israel unto a good land. Unto a good land. They had nothing to worry about. Despite the enemy of the land, God said he would bring the children of Israel unto a good land. And in Exodus 33, verse 2, the Lord told Moses, "I will send an angel before thee. I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." So he said, "I'm going to wipe all these people out." So we see the children of Israel not had God's promise. He reserved for them the choicest piece of real estate on the face of the earth. But also God promised total victory in obtaining their land from their enemies. So the spies are sent out and return, as it tells us in Numbers 13:25, after 40 days. And in Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 to 27, we have their report. Let's see what they said. "And they went and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So here they are. They come to Moses and Aaron, and all the children of Israel are there. They're probably, they may be up on something here like a pulpit so the people can see them. And he says, and they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." So they tell Moses they went to the land, and yes, it's a land flowing like milk and honey, just like the Lord said it would. And here's the fruit of the land as proof. As proof. You know, the thing I was studying on that, and remember, this is very important. The fruit is the proof. The fruit is the proof. As we turn over this morning, just quickly, I want to bring this out about the fruit a little bit. It's very important, the fruit. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us on the Sermon on the Mount, in verses 15 and following, he's talking to the disciples there. He says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Ye shall know them. So we see that fruit is very important. We have to be fruit inspectors. We see people, so-called Christians, we are to know them by their fruits. Inspect their fruits. Also, the fruit of the Spirit, which we started beginning on Wednesday night studying in prayer meeting, is the Holy Spirit working. It's evidence of the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer, the fruit of the Spirit. How about John the Baptist in Matthew 3:8? He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees if they were truly repentant, then they should bring forth fruits meet for repentance. A fruit of a Christian, we know, is another Christian. Bearing fruit or leading others to Christ is proof of our love for Christ. By obeying Christ, by obeying His commandment to win souls, Christ said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And one of those commandments is to go ye into all the world, to spread the gospel. So far as we go, as we get back to our report, everything is great. The spies tell Moses everything is just the way the Lord said it would be. But that's the good news. That's the good news. Let's continue on in verse 28. Nevertheless, however, but, here we go, the first word, nevertheless, here comes the bad news. It's all downhill from here now. Here comes the bad news. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, they were giants. That's what he was talking about, giants. Here comes the failure because of unbelief and the fear of man. Here comes, well, God is not big enough to handle the situation. Let's examine 28 again a little bit, verse 28, and examine the conditions and the limitations that the spies are putting on God's power. First, we see the people be strong. The fear of man. The fear of man. The Bible tells us the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 29:25. Let's look again. The cities are walled and very great. The cities are walled and very great. Man-made obstacles, probably nothing that the children of Israel had not seen before, but because the spies are setting their affections on the things below and not above, the obstacles are seen as insurmountable. Very great. So what? So what about these obstacles? What about God? Their God is the same God that they saw part that Red Sea. It's the same God that sent them quail and manna from above to feed them. It's the same God that brought forth water from a rock after Moses smote the rock at Rephidim. Don't they know their God? Don't they know that God can make those cities, those walled cities, come tumbling down? And then it says, moreover, Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Again, I said Anakims were giants. Let's look at verse 29 now. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. These people had just seen their God destroy Pharaoh and his army. Didn't they think that he could take care of a few giants? And God had already promised them back in Exodus 3:22 that he would drive out all the ites, the Canaanites and the Hittites and so forth and so on. We see more unbelief on the part of the spies. Finally, in verse 30, one of the two out of the 12, we started off the two out of the 12, the message. Finally, one of the two out of the 12 speaks up, Caleb. Caleb, in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb, true man of God this morning. Notice no unbelief, no fear of man. Look at what Caleb says. "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb believed what God said. Caleb said, "Let's go, boys. Let's just go in there and take it. Take it. It's there for the taking." Verse 31. Here we go again with the 10 spies. Verse 31. "But the men that went up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Stronger than we. Again, unbelief and the fear of man. They are stronger than we. Stronger than we. Verse 32. "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants of the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight.'" Again, an evil report. Fear of man. Fear of man discouraged the people, the grasshoppers, again, looking from an earthly perspective. They say, "We're like this in the eyes of these giants." Boy, what an over-exaggeration they were making. Let's continue on in Numbers 14. Let's look at the people. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt! Oh, would God we had died in this wilderness.'" The people were all worked up. They were upset with the men of God, with Moses and Aaron. And as bad as things were, they wanted to go back to Egypt. As bad as things were in Egypt, they wanted to go back there. They wanted to go back. Despite all God had done, all God had shown them, the signs, all the plagues against Egypt and Pharaoh, the Passover, where death passed over them because of the blood of the Lamb, the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Pharaoh and his army. This was the protection. God also gave them provision. We talked about the quail and the manna, the water from the rock. Still, they failed to claim the promises of God. They failed to go in and take the land. They failed to go. In Numbers chapter 14, we're reading in verses 6 through 10, we see, "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither ye fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not.' But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." We see the second of the two out of the 12, Joshua, joined with Caleb in telling the children of Israel, "It is a good land, we can claim it," claims God's promises. In Numbers 14:9, Joshua and Caleb tell the people, "Only rebel ye not against the Lord. In other words, believe what God has said. When people rebel against God, when a person rebels against God, he doesn't believe what God has to say. He's unbelief. They said, neither fear ye the people of the land. Again, the fear of man bringeth a snare. People don't like to be told the truth. Did you notice that in Numbers 14:10? They're ready to stone them until the Lord intervenes. That's how sometimes when we come to a brother and sister in Christ sometimes in love, and we tell them, we're trembling and we want to be sweet and sincere about it, and we try to tell them, hey, there's something going on in your life that you got to look at and you got to see. It's like they want to throw a brick at us because sometimes it's hard. But that's the same way with Caleb and Joshua. They were telling the people, just go, go, we can do it, we can do it. But we want to look at now the results of unbelief and the fear of man. Let's look at Numbers 14 again, verses 26 and following. 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now listen to this, verse 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. All that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. He's telling them, because of your unbelief, because of the fear of man, death, you will die. You will die for not claiming my promises. Verse 30. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Say, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. He told them, you'll be excluded from the promised land except Caleb and Joshua, because they believed and trusted in the Lord. They shall dwell in the promised land. And we drop down, we go down to verse 33. It says, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Because of their unbelief and the fear of man, they will wander aimlessly for 40 years in the wilderness. In verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Died by the plague before the Lord. Death for the 10 spies as a result of unbelief and the fear of man. In verse 38, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Life to Joshua and Caleb. Not only the promised land, they would possess it, but they would also have life. Life. Okay, so far we looked at this morning at the children of Israel. How can we apply this to the Christian? Just like the 10 spies, most Christians end up failing in their Christian walk. They end up wandering aimlessly on this earth like the children of Israel did until the Lord calls them home. The reason for this failure is because the children, like the children of Israel, fail to claim the promises of God. What keeps the Christian from claiming the promises of God? We have seen by the examples of the 10 spies, the fear of man and unbelief. How many Christians have failed to give out a gospel tract, witness to someone, or lead someone to the Lord, and claim the promise of Psalm 126:6? He that goeth forth weepeth. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How many have failed to go forth because of the fear of man? A lot of us will say, that person will laugh at me. They will think I'm crazy. They'll bite my nose off. We get really exaggerated. They'll bite my nose off. Or I won't get promotion because I witnessed to my boss. So many things. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. So many times we're reluctant to just give out a gospel tract. Here's something good to read. The Bible also promises in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we faint not. He promises us that we will reap if we faint not, if we continue on and we give out that gospel tract, we witness, we put a track and a card to someone that's ill. Just like the 10 spies gave an evil report of the land, I'll get a little bit off the track here from my message, and discouraged the rest of the congregation. How many of you so-called mature Christians are stumbling blocks to the younger or weaker Christians? Is your walk a stumbling block like the evil report was? That's what it was, a stumbling block. Are you discouraging and causing younger or weaker Christians to fall? Remember the 12 spies. We're not ordinary Israelites. Because Numbers chapter 13 verse 2 tells us, of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. They were rulers. They were rulers. Not milk-sucking Christians, but supposedly meat-eating, mature men of God. Men of God. Most Christians fail to claim the promises of God because of unbelief. When the Christian comes up against obstacles in their lives, trials and tribulations that are represented in Numbers 13:28 by the cities that were walled and great. These are obstacles. These are trials and tribulations. They failed to claim the promise of Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Remember that. Nothing. You know, I look at the situation I shared this morning with my cousin Michael and my aunt Millie. Because of the passing on of my Uncle Mike, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know nothing is impossible with God. He's going to handle the situation. He's going to make it all right. He's going to make it all right. Jesus told us in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's a promise to claim. He didn't just put us down here to we should have a joyful life, but you know, just to sit around and do whatever, be on the boat at Winnipesaukee and do nothing for him. He said, it's not going to be a bed of roses, a bowl of cherries. There's going to be times when we're going to be tried and tested, and there are going to be tribulations, and we're going to be sorrows. I think of poor Steve Bell up there in the hospital with those second-degree burns. That's a trial and tribulation that not only he's going through, but his wife Linda is going through. But as difficult as it may seem, and it may not seem a difficult situation to be happy in, the Word of God says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And he's going to take care of that situation and make that situation right again. How about the promise in Philippians? As I teach and I preach, I think the book of Philippians is probably going to be, is my favorite book, especially chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. When life puts that roadblock up in your face, when you have to take a detour, you know, some of us as human beings we hate change. We hate change. I hate change. But, you know, sometimes the Lord puts an obstacle. Sometimes there's a detour, and we have to detour. And we got to go down another road. And that road might seem rougher and tougher that we might be able to handle. But remember, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Turn to Jesus Christ if you're having if you're headed up against an obstacle this morning. Ask him for his strength. He will give you the strength. I ask them that every morning for the strength to be able to go to work and to be able to be a full-time pastor. That's the only way I'm doing it is because I'm claiming that promise. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. It's Christ's strength this morning that's keeping me going. Nothing else. Nothing else. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. Just like the 10 spies who had seen all the miracles that God had done in the preservation of the children of Israel that we spoke about earlier. You know, the majority of Christians, even though the Lord has blessed them many, many times, over and over again, has gotten them through many, many a storm, they still fail to claim the promises of God because of their unbelief. Just like the 10 spies, the majority of Christians look at the world with an earthly perspective instead of a spiritual perspective. For example, in Numbers 13:33, the 10 spies said that in their own sight, they were grasshoppers compared to the giants, the son of Anak. Again, the fear of man bringeth a snare. The majority of Christians do the same thing, be it with a person or with a situation. The Christian will be afraid. The odds seem overwhelming. The odds seem overwhelming. The majority of Christians throw up their hands and say, I am just one person for this giant of a situation. God cannot use me. So he fails. The Christian fails to claim the promise of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Let's turn there this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've probably read these verses many, many times, but let's read them again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. For you see your calling, brethren. This is Paul. He's talking to saved people. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. In the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, in the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God uses the little things to do his work, to overcome the giants in life. Remember David and Goliath? He just claimed the promises of God. He just went. He went and dealt with that giant. Christian, you do not have to fear man this morning. But you should be fearing God. You should be fearing God. Over in the Gospel of Matthew this morning, we're told in chapter 10, in verse 28, Jesus says, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. God can destroy both body and soul, but man cannot. He can only destroy the body. The body goes into the grave anyways, and deteriorates, but the soul goes on forever and ever. Finally, Christian, finally, most Christians, like the children of Israel, at the first sign of trouble, or things are not going their way, they turn to Egypt, all the world, for the answer to their problems. And a lot of times we've created these own problems for ourselves. Instead of claiming again God's promises, Proverbs this morning, when you're dealing with a situation like that, things are not going your way, you can't understand things, instead of going to the world, turn to the Word of God. He tells us in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. If you do that, he says, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. That's where we should be going. Not to the world, but to God. If we trust in him, lean not unto our own understanding, acknowledge him in all our ways, he shall direct our paths. He shall direct our paths. And then in Philippians chapter 4, can I refer that? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is where we should turn for the solutions. Not to the world, but to Christ, to God. We have to claim these promises this morning. We saw the end result of sin, of unbelief, and the fear of man. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And in Numbers 14:37, we are told about the 10 spies. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. For the majority of the congregation of Israel, who chose also not to claim the promises of God, they ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and most of them died and never saw the promised land. However, for the minority of spies, the two out of the 12, Caleb and Joshua, they chose to believe the promises of God. As a result, they were able to go into the promised land and possess it. And we see later on in the book of Joshua, how Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. But in chapter 14 of Numbers speaks of the testimony of Joshua and Caleb. In Numbers 14 and verse 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Verse 30, "Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, say Caleb and the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun." And then finally in verse 38, "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still." So for the minority of Christians who claim the promises of God, they will live an abundant, joy-filled life on this earth and someday reap the rewards of their labor in heaven. While the majority of Christians who do not claim the promises of God live a life of spiritual scarcity, they will aimlessly wander seeking the Lord's will, full of self-pity and no joy. And although they'll still go to heaven, there'll be little or no reward to claim. Or if the Lord wants and they continue in their sin, the Lord can take them home early, like he did the 10 spies. Christian, where do you stand this morning? Are you part of the 2? Are you part of the 10? Do you fail to claim the promises of God because of unbelief? Do you put limits on God's capability? Is the fear of man a snare to you? Are you holding back for Jesus because of what men will think or say of you? One of the 2 out of the 12, Joshua, said, and a lot of people have this as on their plaques in their homes in the front door, in Joshua 24:15, "But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord." Christian, stand up and be counted. Claim those promises of God this morning and go and possess the land, possessing and claiming the surrounding communities for Jesus Christ. Won't you do that? How about the unsaved? If you're watching this morning, if you were to die and you don't know 100% that you would go to heaven, you can also claim heaven as your home. You can claim the promises of God. Paul the Apostle told us in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's it. That's all you have to do. Jesus said it is finished. Call upon the name of the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. And Jesus spoke to a very religious muckety-muck called Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you want everlasting life, if you want to know that you're going to heaven, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior today. Shall we stand?